So we've got a special guest in the studio, and this was a thing that happened last year. You filled in for an entire day.
Yeah.
And did a guest spot. And while you were at it, this is just something we were talking at church, and we were talking about our mutual admiration and love of the movie Die Hard. By the way, this is Stuart Jones from First Christian Church. And you said that, who gave you that book?
Jerry Mraz gave me the book, and it was a Christmas present that he intended to be a joke, I think, but...
Like he didn't know you actually really
liked
it.
Oh, my word. I mean, it's like treasured. This comes out at Christmas and sits on our coffee table. My mother-in-law accidentally picks it up every year and thinks that it's going to be something really heartwarming. And then, you know, it's a picture book, which is the downside to being on radio, because you don't get to see the wonderful illustrations that are inside of all the murders.
But they basically made a children's book version of the movie Die Hard. And so it's called A Die Hard Christmas.
Right. Exactly.
But it's not any edited down from the movie. It's just as graphic as the movie is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
So you read the whole book. Now, it's long. I'm going to warn people right now. It's the whole movie condensed down to a children's book.
Right.
But it's Christmas. You have to do things, even if they're a little different or a little long. And so without further ado, the second annual reading of A Die Hard Christmas by Stuart Jones.
'Twas the night before Christmas... And up in the tower, everyone was partying except one wallflower. John McClane missed his wife. Things just weren't the same since Holly had moved west and changed her last name. He tried to win her back, but still she said no. While unbeknownst to them, there was trouble below. A truck had pulled up, and who should disembark but 14 men whose intentions were dark. They spoke not a word and unloaded big crates. They cut the phone lines and locked all the gates. Carl swept the ground floor, shooting every guard dead, while visions of barabans danced in his head. John took off his shoes, making fists with his toes. It actually worked. Well, what do you know? When out in the lobby there arose such a clatter, he sprung to the door to see what was the matter. When what to his wondering eyes should appear? Holy crap, there are terrorists here. John hid under a table where no one could see and watched Hans question Mr. Takagi. I'm going to count to three. There will not be a four. Give me the codes to open the vault door. I don't know the codes, so go ahead and shoot. Okay, said Hans Gruber, and ruined Takagi's suit. John tried to call the cops by pulling an alarm, but instead called the bad guys who tried to cause him harm. But John killed Tony, who had very small feet, and sent him to the terrorists as a Yuletide treat. He put a Santa hat on the German, and eyes all aglow, wrote, "Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho." Carl was furious. Tony was his brother. He chased John across the roof, and they shot at each other. John was able to escape through the ventilation shafts. "Come out to the coast," he sighed. "We'll have a few laughs." At Nakatomi Tower, Sergeant Powell appeared. He checked the whole lobby and saw nothing weird. He was pulling away, but didn't get far before Marco landed on the hood of his car. Pal drove away backwards, screaming in fright. "Welcome to the party, pal," John yelled with delight. More police arrived, the FBI and a SWAT team. But Hans didn't mind. It was all part of his scheme. More rapid than eagles, his henchmen they came, and he radioed and shouted and called them by name. "Now Eddie, now James, now Franco, now Yuli, on Fritz and on Carl, hairy, long, and unruly." They shot the SWAT tank with a surface-to-air missile and knocked it away like the down of a thistle. Now John McClane was angry indeed. He blew up the terrorists and called them jerkweed. Ellis told Hans, "Booby, I'm your white knight." Hans shot him dead, giving the hostages a fright. Hans went to check on the explosives fuse and saw that poor John wasn't wearing any shoes. John fled from Carl and Hans, but alas, he had to run barefoot over sharp, broken glass. His feet, how they hurt. His soles, oh, so bloody. John crawled to the bathroom and called his good buddy. John was weary and ready to throw in the towel until he got a pep talk from Sergeant Al Powell. Powell was chubby and plump, a right jolly old cop, and he trusted the cowboy in the tattered tank top. But a reporter was probing into McLean's life and revealed that Holly was actually John's wife. Hans quickly flipped over the gold picture frame. "It's a pleasure to meet you, Mrs. McLean." His clothes all tarnished with ashes and soot, John staggered to the roof, bloody and barefoot. The explosives were wired to the rooftop with care in hopes that the hostages soon would be there. John warned everyone the roof would soon blow as the chopper strafed him with high-powered ammo. Around his waist, he tied a fire hose tight and, screaming an oath, jumped into the night. He dangled in the air and gritted his teeth while flames encircled the tower like a wreath. See, Christmassy. Fiercely fighting his way back inside, John yelled out, "Hans!" He was done trying to hide. He limped to the vault like an old man on crutches, only to find Holly in his filthy clutches. John dropped his gun, put his hands on his head. It seemed he and Holly soon would be dead. But with a secret gun taped to his back, John shot Hans in a surprise attack. Hans fell out the window, still holding Holly's arm and slowly, deliberately raising his firearm. The tenacious villain held on by his nails till John unhooked Holly's watch and he said, "Happy trails." Barabons fluttered like fresh fallen snow as Holly embraced her blood-spattered bow. So Merry Christmas to all. Be kind to one another. And most of all, yippee-ki-yay, my friends.
Oh,
that
thank
made
you.
Made my Christmas season. That's Stuart Jones from First Christian Church. If you're looking for a place to go pray, that's the guy that you can
there
go
you
see.
Go. Yeah, yeah. There you go.
So that's Die Hard Christmas. It's a Christmas version, a children's book version of the Christmas classic, the movie Die Hard.
One of the greatest Christmas movies of all time.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
So, Tricia, this was your first exposure. What did you think of this wonderful new tradition that we'll do every single year?
It was delightful. Mm-hmm. You going to make a sermon on that?
Oh, we could try. We could try.
Yeah. Teach people about Jesus and Die Hard.
That's it's there. We actually, okay, I'm going to make a plug. So, I have a new podcast that's out called the Stuart Jones Podcast. And
it's a good name for it.
Yeah, it really is. It's kind of catchy. The episode that's up right now is the top 10 Christmas movies of all time. Die Hard may make it in there within the list.
Now, based this list on what?
My list based purely on truth. I did go looking for lists that are out there. There's I mean, Esquire, Parade Magazine, everybody's got lists that are out. But the lists are like 20, 40. There's one that's 77 movies long. I didn't even know there's 77 Christmas. Well, Hallmark.
Well, they're all Hallmark,
Anyway, I have criteria. I list the criteria in the podcast, and then we get down to it. So
yours is right, and everybody else's is wrong?
Yeah, and I make that clear in the podcast.
Yeah.
He is the right reverend.
Wait.
Yeah,
can't
exactly.
Wait to hear it.
Oh. It's perfect.
One last thing, and because Stu's a little bit opinionated like me, you have declared, well, it's not a pulpit. What do you call it?
I call it an iPad stand. It used to be a pulpit.
Modern churches don't have pulpits.
We don't have pulpits.
We don't
anymore.
Have narthexes anymore. They're called lobbies.
Right, exactly.
But, so the pulpit is now an iPad stand.
Right.
Or the commons area.
The commons, yes.
Mm. The commons area. So, you have actually declared from the iPad stand something to be what you believe to be true about Christmas music.
Yeah.
What's the best Christmas album of all time?
Jackson 5 Christmas album.
It's not even bar
close.
None.
It's not even close. No, no, and that'll be a list someday. But yeah, it's. I mean, I have a playlist on my phone that has like 60 some songs on it. But 10 of them are from the Jackson 5 Christmas album because there's not a bad one on there, except when they re-released it. There's a little Christmas tree song that just Michael sings, and that's awful. Yeah. But other than that, the rest of them are
well, we go with the original, analog.
Well, and the fact that they have bad grammar within the song, like they call the reindeers, plural. Reindeer is still reindeer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so they put the S on the end all the way through. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which is fantastic. No one corrected them, and they did it the whole song.
They were from Indiana. They didn't know any better.
Right. Wait, hey, now. They're from Gary. That's almost Chicago. Come on.
It's like Chicago Junior.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for coming in, Stuart Jones.
Thank you, guys. And Merry Christmas.
I have
Merry
a special Christmas. Gift for you in my desk I'm about to give you.
Awesome. I'm so excited.
Yeah. This is legit, so.
Too legit to quit.
Too legit to quit.